You're listening to That's What They Say on Michigan Public.
If you're too big for your britches, maybe you're all mouth and trousers.
That's what they say. I'm Rebecca Hector, and with us now is University of Michigan English professor Anne Curzan. Hey there, Anne.
Hello, Rebecca. Are you ready to talk more about pants?
I have kept my pants on for the past week, waiting to talk about pants again. So yes, let's talk more pants.
Let's talk more pants. And let's start with the fact that pants is a much more North American term. We have this pants-trousers divide, where trousers is a more British term. And trousers goes back to the late 1600s. It was an item of clothing worn by sailors and soldiers, but became widespread. It's created actually from a borrowed word, T-R-O-U-S-E. Trousse, borrowed from Irish, maybe influenced by French, for this kind of close-fitting garment that was worn in Ireland and Scotland. And Rebecca raises that question of why add an ER to get to trousers? And it may have been influenced by a word like drawers.
That makes me think of what my dad would call underwear.
Exactly. So drawers was used to refer to underwear by the 1500s. Last week, we talked about pants being used for underwear. You could also use knickers by the 1880s. Knickers is short for knickerbockers. And then you have panties.
Oh, that word makes me cringe. Oh my gosh, I hate that word.
Wow, Rebecca, that is a very strong reaction to that word.
I just despise that word.
Panties started in the mid-1800s as men's or boys' trousers or shorts. It was often derogatory. And by the early 1900s, it referred to women's underpants. And since I just mentioned shorts, we should talk about shorts, which is a shortening from short trousers. And we get shorts by the early 1800s. And then by the 1920s or so, you can use shorts to refer to underwear, as in boxer shorts. All right, breeches. Breeches are trousers that go just to or right below the knee. This word is old, goes all the way back to Old English. And by the 1500s, breeches were distinguished from trousers in terms of length. So breeches were shorter, trousers were longer. And Rebecca, then you start to get these expressions like, who wears the trousers?
And I'm guessing that's going to lead up to who wears the pants? Who wears the pants in this family, the pants in this relationship?
Yes. So wear the trousers goes all the way back to the 1600s to refer to women who were seen as dominating or dictating the rules. By the 18th and 19th century, we have wear the breeches, and then we get wear the pants. And I think it's worth noting that this expression to wear the pants is often a criticism of women who are seen as having too much power, which I think is something we should challenge.
Absolutely.
Then we have the expression, I'll bet you know this, Rebecca, too big for one's boots or too big for one's breeches.
Or breeches?
Yes. So breeches is a later variant of breeches, means the same thing. Then in 2010, we have this great debate about the idiom all mouth and trousers, because the Guardian Style Guide said it was all mouth and trousers, not all mouth and no trousers. This had me thinking about all hat, no cattle, which is a North American expression, 1930s. And all mouth and trousers seems to be sort of all boastful talk and sexual bravado, but nothing behind it. You also get like all bark, no bite, that sort of thing. Now, Rebecca, last week you mentioned, can pants be singular?
No. Yes, I mentioned it, but no, it cannot.
Now, there is a trend in the fashion world to make pant singular. Maybe it's more stylish to refer to pant as singular. And there's a really nice blog post on Grammarphobia that shows that this marketing device goes back to the late 1800s in the garment industry to refer to pant rather than pants.
In my world, Tim Gunn is still the only one who can get away with saying pant singular, and that is because he is a gem. No one else can say it, though. I can't stand pant. But Anne, thanks for talking about pants.
It's been a delight to spend two episodes talking about pants.
Ann Curzan is an English professor at the University of Michigan and the author of Says Who, a kinder, funner usage guide for everyone who cares about words. We look at the evolution of language Friday afternoons at 4:45 and Sunday mornings at 9:35 here on Michigan Public. You can also subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. And if you've got a language question for us, email us at language@michiganpublic.org.